here is what led to the breakdown I had today. This is really like emotional for me. And I thought that it's something I had to bring up because it was a plot line in Sex and the City. And it legit happened to me today that there is a long white hair growing on my pussy.
Oh, no. Oh, girl. Okay. I know exactly what episode you're talking about. And please do not break out the hair dye.
I was brushing my teeth, just getting out of the shower.
I really thought you were about to say you were brushing your pussy. And I was like, didn't know you did that, but all right. It makes me think
of that that Facebook thing someone showed us that was on TikTok. And it was like, ladies, can we talk about what we're doing with pussy hair nowadays? You know, like, what's the thing? Are we shaving it off? Are we? And I know we've talked about it.
In quarantine, the thing is nothing. My guy, the thing is running free.
Exactly. Yes, we have glorious bush going on right now, and
it's
so,
the 70s down there right now. I can't.
Me and glorious bush are just standing in front of the mirror brushing my teeth after my shower, and I just like it glinted in the sunlight coming through the bathroom window, and I looked down. I was like, that can't possibly be. Like, that's a joke. Like, your pussy hair doesn't actually go gray, does it? And then I was like,
it does.
It
fucking, I mean,
mess of tears. Like, I have a geriatric vagina now, and I was so fucking upset, you guys. Like, I can laugh about it now, but I can't. I was a mess of tears. A mess.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, well, here it is. I'm 39, and now my pussy is retiring. It's silver fox.
Wow. Wow. You're George Clooney-ing down there.
No.
Oh, no. Christina,
yes.
Funny that that is what happened to you today, because I was in the mirror. I actually put makeup on today for the first time, and I can't tell you when.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Had an interview. I was putting my eyebrows on, and I was like, two fucking gray hairs. I was like, what the fuck? Like, white, not gray, white hairs.
Okay,
in
yeah,
my eyebrows.
That's what's coming out of my vagina now, right? On the right side of my labia is a completely white hair. It is a full inch longer than like any other hair.
Why?
And it's straight too. It's so weird. It's a long white hair, because I was like, is that dog hair or something? And I'm like picking at it, and I'm like, no, that's attached to skin.
Oh
my god.
I don't know if this makes you feel any better, but the other day I was sitting in the parking lot at CVS, and there's something about that like natural sunlight, you know, that's different. It hits different than being at home in the mirror. And I was looking in my like mirror, I like drop down mirror. I had a hair on my chin that was like a quarter of an inch long. Like, it was so long. And I was like,
yeah, that happened to me a couple years ago. And I have to keep an eye on that one fucking hair.
No, I know. And now I'm terrified, you know, because I did the same thing, Christina. Like, I like brushed at it because I was like, oh, it's like an eyelash or something that has like fallen onto my chin. No, ma'am. It was connected to my face. And I was like, oh, this is what it's going to be like now. Like, you're in your 30s. Apparently, this is what happens at this point
it's
in
like,
your
fuck
life.
Fuck you. Is this
COVID stress that's making not only my head hair go gray, but my pussy hair go white?
It's the stress. I blame everything on 2020 at this point. But I have one that I guarantee neither of you guys have had. I cut Chris and Dylan's hair last time, not this past month, but the month before. And I was like, I went to the bathroom and it wasn't long after. And I was like, oh shit, I got like a hair splinter on my boob. It wasn't a hair splinter.
It was a hair on your boob?
I had a hair growing out of my actual boob.
Oh, yeah, no, I have those.
I have those too.
I have those.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They're, I'm not crazy.
They're like fine blonde hairs, but once in a while there's a wily. Oh, no, this is wily one
wily black hair.
Yeah, no, mine aren't blonde. They are black. They're pretty fine, but still I have had concerns because I'm like, listen, is this going to get worse? As I get older, am I going to be like an old lady? And you know what? I had a whole kind of like mental breakdown situation as I'm driving home from CVS because I was like, man, are my chin hairs going to grow in number? Are they going to get darker? Is there going to be a time in my life when I don't feel like I can tend to them the way that I want to tend to them? And then they're going to get out of control. And I feel the same way about the nipple hairs as well. And I'm like, what's going to happen when I'm old and I don't want to like shave my nipple hairs off?
Like, I'm just concerned about all the times that my dad said, if I eat that thing, it'll grow hair on my chest. That's, you know, all I can think about.
Well, now all I want to do is just get laser hair removal from like the eyebrows down. That way I never have to think about it ever. Like it just never has to be something that's concerning to me in my life.
I was going to pluck the white hair out, but then I thought to myself, like, what if more come in and then I can have like a rogue kind of pussy going like with a white just silver one stripe,
right? Streak.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Amazing. Like getting older is just weird and fine. We're all gonna have to go through it. And I guarantee you,
listen, look,
I don't want to be on this podcast in public talking about all of these like very embarrassing things to me. However, I do want people to like understand that this is something normal that happens because
I truly didn't know having a hair on my boob was going to be normal. I thought for sure you guys were going to be like, what?
No, ma'am.
No.
Oh, got it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my God. Ugh. But beyond that, that's all that's going on in my world. And I know we're kind of recording ahead. So this one's going to be 2 weeks into the future. Do you want to make predictions?
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, we can't because some wild shit is bound to happen between now and then. Who fucking knows?
Did you guys hear the other night that there was a UFO going down the 101 to Topanga?
I saw it. I didn't see it with my eyes, but I saw that somebody took a picture of it. It looks like a swarm of birds or something. Like it's like a mass.
It's no. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't believe it.
I'm going to say alien contact happens.
Well, you know, there was that one scientist who came out and was like, and he had like a really good reputation, and he had just retired from some like prestigious institution. And he was like, listen, I'm retiring from this institution. Everybody knows me. They know I don't fuck around. And so I'm here to tell you aliens. Like he was like, aliens exist. And by the way, Trump knows about them. So it's only a matter of time if that motherfucker knows. We're all about to know because he can't keep a secret. But yeah, that guy was like, he's like, yeah, aliens, we've made contact and they've made contact with us, just so y'all know.
I don't like it.
I love that. I'm in for it. That beats murder hornets all day.
Well, I just love that the aliens are kind of like, nah. Like they've like made contact, but they're like, no.
They ghosted.
They ghosted us. They're like, yeah, no. Thanks anyway.
They left us on red. We're trying to like message them back and they're like
Hey. They're like, hey, are you there?
I feel like you have a lot of shit that you need to work out. So give me a call after you've gone to therapy, Earth.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. I'm ready for this. We're ready for you. We can work this out.
Meanwhile, they're blocking us on every
place right now. Right. I think we want different things.
It's not you. It's me.
What do you think the aliens are like? Like, do you think they're like arrival like aliens? Do you think they're like little green men like aliens? Machines? Like, what are we talking about? What do you think?
Oh my God, I would love the arrival aliens. Those are my favorite movie aliens for sure.
Oh my God, are we gonna fuck, marry, kill aliens?
Oh God,
is that what's gonna happen
right
now? I in my mind it will always be like the typical gray alien with like the big eyes.
The X-Files. Yeah. Roswell alien.
Roswell alien. Yeah. Like the autopsy alien shit.
Long spindly fingers.
Well, okay, that's enough. I'm in a room by myself. I don't like this.
We're scaring Cassie.
Did you ever see the movie The Fourth? What was it? The Fourth Kind with Mila Jovovich? That movie scared the shit out of me because it was one of those that they framed as like, this is based on true events. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, you should see it. I mean, yeah. At the time I watched it, I was like, this is really based on true events. And it freaked me the fuck out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the other thing that we should talk about that happened today, as in 2 weeks in the past, is that we got a really cool Facebook message from a listener named Simone
Stemper, I think.
Yes, Simone Stemper.
I just want it to be Simone.
Simone. And it was really cool in that since the beginning, we named one of our segments. We have a true crime segment at the end that we do that we named after the Beyonce song Crazy in Love. And didn't think anything about it. It's mostly about crime or obsession or like all kinds of stuff. It was our way of being cheeky, and she was kind enough to point out that crazy is an ableist term and that she recommends our podcast all the time, but just wishes that, you know, that segment was called something else, which was such a great call to action for us. I think that a lot of people, when they get stuff like that, might be like hurt or whatever, being like, oh, I'm not wrong or whatever, try to defend it like. That's not the three of us at all. Like, we were immediately like, yeah, sure, fuck it, let's change it. It was just after. And then my girl, Laura Lee Conyer, suggested Tainted Love as an option for it, which
I love it.
I love that. I love that too.
I feel it's an even better description of that section. So yeah, excited.
I do too.
It plays on the same thing as like a song theme, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that what Simone did is such a perfect example of calling somebody in on a problem rather than calling them out on a problem, which is something that I talk about a lot because oftentimes when you call someone out, it feels very defensive. You know, people tend to get their hackles raised. I don't think we would have anyway, but people tend to. But what she did was just saying, hey, I love you guys. This is a thing, and we took it as like, here's how we can be better, and we would love to be better. We would love to like learn and grow and change. That's part of it. So we are absolutely thrilled to do that. And so from here on out, we will be changing the name of our segment to Tainted Love. So yeah, thank you so much, Simone. And also, we, as a thank you to both Simone for bringing it up to us and to Laura Lee for being the one who suggested the new segment title, we will be sending you some My Worst Date merch in the mail. So look out for that.
We're always, guys, we're always open for communication, whether it's suggestions, ideas, stories, that sort of thing. We love that you guys write us and reach out. Please always feel free to do that. We're constantly learning, changing, evolving, and we love to hear from you. So door is open.
Love it.
And also, this is My Worst Date. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
Who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
I kind of feel like it has to be aliens now.
Well, God, famous aliens. I mean, what? You've got like Alf and Marvin the Martian and
E.T.
I'm going to Google. Yeah. I'm going to Google now, like famous aliens to see who comes up.
Oh, what are the Dan Aykroyd Coneheads? The Coneheads?
Oh, my God. Famous aliens. Okay.
John Lithgow from Third Rock from the Sun.
Third Rock. That's exactly what I was just about to say. That's so funny.
Okay. Top 10 aliens from the big screen. Yeah, you got E.T.
I can't fuck, marry, kill E.T.
No.
Like, he's an asexual being.
Mm-mm. I don't like it. We cannot do E.T.
Yeah, it's like Alien and Predator.
Alf. Oh, my God.
Nope.
Oh, you can throw a predator in there. Why not?
Kill. That's an easy kill.
Megamind.
Oh. Oh, from the Megamind movie.
Yeah.
Or we could just do types of aliens. So we could do Little Green Men, Arrival aliens, and Predator.
Oh, yeah.
And or we could do the wait, is Little Green Men the gray guy?
Yeah, the gray, the, or yeah, same thing. Gray aliens.
Gray green.
Gray guy.
Long fingered, big eyed.
I love
bastards.
That.
Bastards.
Okay. Let's do it. I love it.
Okay, cool.
Okay. All right. So we have the gray-green guys, which is your standard alien for anybody who's like wondering what we mean by that. So we mean like a teardrop head with big eyes, like little lips, long limbs situation.
Yep.
We have the arrival aliens who are kind of just like a floating mass.
Blob? Yes.
Right?
Yeah, well, they look like octopuses.
Oh, that's right. They have like tentacle thingies. Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. And then, do we want to do predator or alien?
Oh, predator.
Alien.
Oh, okay.
Either way.
All right, let's do predator. So we got predator, who's like big, buff, dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Can be invisible if he wants to. So it sounds like a fuckboy to me.
Yeah.
He's got that, makes that weird sound.
Oh, God.
Oh, that the sound. That clicking sound. Yeah.
Imagine waking up in the dark to that. Like, just like
Depends on where it's coming from.
Oh. Oh,
no.
Oh,
it does not depend. It's the worst.
I know what I'm going to do.
I bet he's a loud eater.
You're going to marry a rival alien.
I am going to fuck Predator. Yeah. That is
wild.
Big buff, throw you around. And like I said, he gets invisible, so he's just going to disappear. Classic fuckboy. It's a great one-night stand.
Classic.
But you know what? I don't want Predator to accidentally get you pregnant, because that baby is going to be really uncomfortable to deliver, I feel like. It's a big head on a Predator baby.
You're done down there. After that, yeah, you're closed for business. But yeah, it's gonna be fucking Predator for me. It'll be rough and wild. I like it. I am gonna marry arrival aliens. Mm-hmm. There's something very artistic, beautiful, and
intelligent.
And yeah, they're the smartest of the three.
Yeah,
whole thing about them seeing time as like circular, that I loved that movie. I really did.
It was good.
It was a great movie.
So yeah, I'm gonna marry arrival aliens all day, and then I'm gonna kill the little green man. I feel like if aliens do really exist, I feel like that is the stereotype. I think that they would be offended by that. You know what I mean? Like, it's that whole. So I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill the stereotype.
Okay.
I think that is fair. You know what? I think. Oh, God, this is kind of hard. I was going to say, I think I'm going to do the same thing. I mean, I'm definitely going to fuck Predator, because of the three, that's the one that has the most sexual energy. Like the other two, I mean, I really feel like Arrival Alien is very asexual. Like there's not a lot of like sexual energy coming from that.
Right.
You're going to get your jollies with the Arrival Alien through conversation. Like that's where it's coming from.
I feel like you touch that wall and you get an orgasm. It's gonna be real
right, easy. Because your whole body is gonna be it's gonna have like an experience, an existential experience, right?
Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna fuck Predator again. Bad decision, most likely. Like, not a good person. Like, the Predator is an asshole, and you know it. And if he did get you pregnant, he would never call you.
Mm. Oh, no.
So raising that predator baby by yourself with your ruined vagina from, you know. So I don't know. But then the next two, I'm like, there's something about like a skinny guy with long arms that I could get on board with. And there is also something about the arrival alien is eventually going to start talking down to me. Like, I know it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an idiot compared to the arrival alien.
You make a good point. You do.
That's valid.
Yeah. I think it would be very exciting in the beginning with the arrival alien because it's like, you know, he's so smart and cultured and worldly and like that's exciting.
But then, actually, yes, I think you mean.
But then I mean, universally. But then after like
you would start, you would recognize that. That ink splot for the actually ink splot. Mm. Like,
God damn.
Face. Hot.
Yes. Yes. After like, I think about it's going to be great for like the first year and then it's going to slowly start to decline. And then by like 5 years in, arrival alien is cheating on you with the smarter lady arrival alien that you just can't compare to. And I don't know if I want to deal with that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know what? I think I'm going to take the easy way out and I'm going to marry the gray-green stereotype. And he's famous, but he's chill about it, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're just going to have a real relaxed life in that very stereotypical UFO.
Better Marvin watch out, though. UFO. That motherfucker spends weekends going to the Midwest doing God knows what.
But you know what? Here's the thing about the classic alien. The classic alien is like an old soap opera star. Like, he makes his money at conventions, hanging out with nerds. And I'm okay with that. I really feel like that's all right. You're making all your money just signing autographs and taking pictures. And
he's got that Days of Our Lives fame.
Mm-hmm, and we're going to own like a McMansion somewhere. And it'll be fine.
I'm just saying, as in long Nashville. As you can ignore the inconsistencies in his story about where he's been. And about people coming up being like, I
was with your man.
Yep. Exactly.
That's so funny. You're very right. He can't ever get his story straight. That's for sure. But you know what? You'll be at home with your two kids and your three-eyed dog and it'll be fine. So
what about you, Cass?
Oh, I'm going to mix it all the way up. I don't trust Predator as far as I could throw him, which is not far at all. And I am killing Predator.
Yeah.
I don't like him. He scares me. I don't like it. Scares me.
Predator is going to be the one who might like bust your windows open.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm going to fuck the Graylian. I'm afraid to marry him because I don't think his eyes close, and that would freak me the shit out if I woke up and his eyelids. He don't have eyelids,
and you know his eyes open are all the time. Super big too. So they take up like 90% of his face.
But I'm gonna fuck him because all that long limb shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. He's gonna reach. You know what I'm all saying. The way up.
Dude, that is my lung. Careful. I am going to marry the arrival alien.
All right.
Hear me out. One, super smart, play along, super intelligent. Love that. Love being able to learn from my partner. Mm-hmm. And tentacle porn's a thing. Am I wrong?
No,
you're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole genre. If I'm, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's something that turns me on.
You're about to find out. You're gonna learn today.
I guess we're about to fight.
You're gonna learn. Oh, dude, I'm with you though, Cass. I kind of feel like they have evolved a really special, crazy way to have sex that we can't even imagine. And I'm like, here for it.
Oh man. Yeah.
Here for getting my mind simulated, you know?
Oh, you're like, shh, don't talk to me. Just shh, shut your mouth.
It would have to figure out the whole, like, they live in water. So you basically be keeping your husband in a fish tank.
Yeah. He ain't going to cheat on you. Where's he going to go?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you could also just walk away from any argument as well. He's like, where are you going? Throwing up ink blots all over the place. You're like, deuces.
Bye.
Well, that was a really, that's probably one of our weirder, like, 100%. Fuck, marry, kills.
But yeah. Look, man, we're in a weird place.
Oh my gosh. Well, you guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Yes, ma'am.
Sounds good.
Cool.
And we're back. All right, I'm going to kick us off with stories since I have the tainted in love story, or tainted love. God, that's going to take some time to get used to.
It's going
to
take some time. Yeah.
This week. All right, here we go. Bad dates don't just happen when you're young. She was 48, me 52. We had been seeing each other about a month. She lived in the suburbs and me in town. Since I had a more flexible schedule, I usually went out her way. One day, I asked her if there was anything she would especially like to do for a date. To my surprise, she told me she would like to go to one of the more notorious strip clubs in town.
Oh, hey.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, come in hot. Surprised but intrigued, I agreed. The next Saturday, she met me at my house and we went to the club. I had 100 $1 bills with me and she proceeded.
Holy shit.
That's what you do when you go to a strip club. And you know what? I feel like the bank tellers know. Like when you go and you're like, can I trade in this hundo for singles?
As somebody that worked as a server like all through my 20s, having ones was never a problem.
Yeah. Same as a hairdresser, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Tipped in ones. I had 100 $1 bills with me and she proceeded to drink heavily and tip everyone. It was an absolute scream and better than I could have wished. I looked forward to getting her back to the house. Mm-hmm. So I bet you did. So club time ended and we drove to my house. We walk in and up the stairs to my bedroom and there is my 10-year-old old English sheepdog on his bed snoozing. My girl had met Quincy once before and decided to go say hello again.
Quincy,
I know.
I love it.
So cute. Before I could stop her, she pranced. And this made me think of you, Christina. So before I could stop her, she pranced over to the snoozing dog, bent over, grabbed his head and tried to rub noses with him. Now,
that
here's
the
thing. The
dog woke up and bit her fucking face off.
Because Christina has the nicest dog of all time. Mm-hmm. Tig ever. Is the sweetest dog ever. Like ever. He's so even killed. His temperament is so chill. Mm-hmm. But the only time he has ever gotten even remotely kind of like, I don't even want to use the word aggressive, but like remotely kind spicy. Of like, yeah, spicy with me was when I went over to his bed one time.
Yeah.
Because dogs,
they're scared. Yeah. They're just asleep.
They're asleep. And like, that's their like space. And, you know, you don't do that. Like, I've learned my lesson because I've done that with Tig. And then I did it once with our friend Vanessa's dog, who was the sweetest dog ever. And I did that with him once, too. And he got a little spicy with me as well. And then I learned my lesson. I was like, oh, you can't. That's their safe space. They're sleeping.
Right.
You have to leave them alone in that space. So. She bent over, grabbed his head, and tried to rub noses with him, while he was shrilling at her. Old and harshly awoken, Quincy nipped her in the nose. She yelled and pulled back, nose bleeding, blood oozing through her hands, runs to the bathroom. I follow her and see her dabbing at her nose, cursing. There's maybe a 1.5-inch gash down one side of the bridge of her nose, which is quite a large wound, I'd say, for your nose.
That's,
you know?
Yeah.
Pretty decent, yeah.
She instantly sobered up, continued cursing, and stormed out of the house. As I watched her drive away, I was still trying to process what had happened in the last 3 minutes. She did not respond to my calls or texts that night. The next day, Sunday, she continued to not respond. I'm thinking she and I might be done. Monday at noon, I get a call from my county's animal services.
Come on.
Oh, no.
I was to bring in Quincy and surrender him to the county for a 2-week quarantine. It seems like this woman went to the hospital Saturday night after she left my house, and the hospital filed a vicious dog bite report. So, Quincy and I went to animal services. Big, gentle, slow, clearly old sheepdog melted the heart of the lady we spoke with. Talking fast, I pointed out his age and shared what happened. Animal services decided that Quincy could quarantine at home if he never left our property and he got seen by our vet and cleared for rabies. Agreed. Aww. We dodged a bullet. was going to cost a little money for the vet, but my old dog could remain at home. That was Monday. Tuesday rolls around. I receive a special delivery letter from an attorney. Seems like this woman friend wasn't happy. The letter informed me that I had to reimburse her for the hospital expense incurred and for the expected plastic surgery to correct any damage or scarring to her pristine and delicate nose.
Oh, my God. Lovely.
She lawyered up. This shit got serious. The next day, I contacted my attorney and explained the situation. My attorney is a little bulldog of a lady and an animal lover, so she dived right in. She promised to do a little research and contact the lady's attorney. Thursday, I'm sweating. Thoughts going through my head. Cost of plastic surgery out of pocket. Ouch. Friday, my attorney calls me early afternoon. Turns out that in my state, an animal in his home has rights. Seems he can defend himself if a stranger is aggressive. After being confronted with this information and a full account of our date night, this woman's attorney decided to drop the case.
Yes. Whew.
Never did see or hear from her again. I reached out repeatedly to apologize, but no response. I still have Quincy. He's 15 now. I joke with friends and family that Quincy is an ex-con, then share the story. Gentle old guy, and all he wanted was a snooze. I had high hopes for this woman. I thought we were on a good track. The combination of a strip club, alcohol, and an old English sheepdog likely saved me from a huge mistake.
Wow. Good. Wow. Holy crap. Yeah. We haven't had a lot of those stories come in, but like when I was dating, that was like a big thing, was like no cats allowed, that kind of thing, where like guys like were allergic or what have you. But I know that Keegan, you've shared on the podcast before that Anthony was like, I'm allergic to cats. And you're like, all shoulders.
Sorry. That's 100% how it went, first of all. So, like, I got Matilda. Matilda needed a home. I had been saying to a friend of mine who works with the unhoused population in Los Angeles, she's a cat lover. And I'd been telling her for a long time, like, I want a cat. Mm-hmm. And so when she was out doing her job, there was this woman that they'd been trying to place in a home for a while who wouldn't go because she had this cat. And it was Matilda. Matilda was 6 months. Aww. And she'd had her since she was born. And she was like, I'm not leaving her because she can't go into a shelter. So she called me and was like, do you want her? And I was like, yes, of course. So that day I was not expecting to get a cat. I didn't have a car at the time. So I like went home. I walked to CVS. I came home with like litter and cat food and a litter box, like carrying it all because I didn't have a car. So I walked back like the 3 blocks and got Matilda. And Anthony was like, I'm allergic to cats. And I was like, well, that's too damn bad. You either have to deal with it or I guess we had a good run. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Of course, he dealt with it. And he's a little sniffly in the beginning, but he's gotten over it. And I don't think that this is what Anthony was doing. But I do think that there are guys out there who will say that they are allergic to cats because they, quote, do not like cats and don't want them around. And to them, I say, you haven't spent enough time around a cat.
Yep.
My favorite thing on Meowderinos, which is like my safe space online, is seeing dog dads, and especially dog dads who are like, I don't like cats. Like, it's the I don't like cats, and the cat is like all snuggled up to them, like 100. On their lap or next to their neck.
But Christina, so you were saying when you were dating, you had that, like, was that a common issue?
It was common. Very common. Very common. Every time I swiped, I would see at least one.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm wondering, and why I bring that up is just like, I'm sure that like there are more animal stories. So listeners, if you have animal stories, animals come in between you and that dude, especially I love reading the ones where animals sense that that's not a good person mm-hmm. for you. And they're like,
me too.
No, I don't like. And then no, you find you. Out that they're like a serial killer or something.
Oh, shit.
I want those stories. So, yeah.
Well, Christina, you had a dog throw up on you once, didn't you? I think. Watching Zodiac. I remember that story.
I think oh my given God. My mental space in that time, that dog was protecting his owner. So
he's like, this is right.
That dog was watching that date and he was like, Zodiac, really?
No. Yeah, get out of here. This one's not ready yet. Get her out.
This one's not ready.
Okay, so I got this story from Reddit. Okay, strap yourselves in. Here we go. I was 14 and had a girlfriend who told me outright she wanted to have sex with me. We have
Can we pause so I can just say, wow, what a 14-year-old. Me at 14, no way.
No, never.
No, I had lost my virginity at 14. So, yeah, there's wild 14-year-old. And then I didn't again until I was, you know, later. But I was curious
Would you have been that bold to be like, I want to fuck? Like,
yeah, I was. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm amazed.
Yeah. I was like I was a weird teenager, but
that's not weird. You were just advanced.
Yeah. Well,
makes sense.
I was just curious about it. That's how I lost my virginity episode later, maybe. So we had been dating 5 months. I was a virgin. She wasn't. Naturally, I consulted with my eldest cousin, who was very excited for me and shared lots of tips on how to do good job.
I love
naturally.
That. Cousin relationships are some of my favorite ever.
Yes. Showtime comes. I do what he told me to do when it came to foreplay. I start by pushing her nipples down like buttons with my thumbs.
No. Oh, God. Oh, like he's playing fucking Nintendo. Oh I hate it.
You're like, they're boobs, not Mario Kart, bruh.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
She looks confused, so I thought maybe she's just not into that. Whatever. And moved to the oral part of my lesson. I motorboat her genitals as instructed.
No.
Is your cousin fucking with you?
She laughs and tells
he's
me
just
to
blowing
stop.
Raspberries on her vag. Like, oh, no.
We finally get to the penetrative aspect of this complete nightmare. And as instructed, because I didn't learn the first two fucking times, I then attempt to put my penis and balls inside this person.
Oh, no. And this girl is not a virgin, so she's like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. Like, she knows it's not how it's supposed to be. What is he doing? Is he squeezing? Like, how?
Oh.
How?
Oh, my God.
I managed to get one inside. But when I go for the second one, the first one pops out again.
So he's like, one moment, please. Pause.
This happens twice before she calls the whole thing off. She's like, three strikes. You're out.
Well, can you imagine, like, as a teenager, I feel like I would be insecure enough that I'd be like, okay, maybe he's trying maybe this is a French or something. Like, maybe he's trying to do something European.
It's French.
You know, but, like, as an adult, imagine a grown man.
Is he trying the croissant?
Imagine a grown man trying to stick both balls inside.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I confront said cousin about this in a fit of rage because my beloved's friends are now referring to me at this stage as ball boy. He is in tears laughing. Oh my God.
What a fucking, that's rude.
See, it reminds me very much, that story like brought a smile to my heart for a lot of reasons. And it's because like back in my day, like, and I can say that because I have gray hair on my pussy now.
Oh my God.
Back in my day, we didn't have porn on phones or whatever. Like, you did learn about sex from asking your friends or yeah. your cousin or like whatever, you know, like, so you didn't have a million different videos
that's
showing
true.
You all these different things. So like, you just kind of had to like figure it out from the book you found under your parents' bed, the 70s, like Joy Dude, of Sex or whatever.
What a nightmare. Like, thinking back to that, like, seriously, what a nightmare. Like, I've said on this podcast before that, like, yeah, I didn't know that, like, female, like, oral was a thing. Like, I didn't know. There were so many things that, like, I didn't know well into my teens because I didn't seek out the complicated ways of finding porn. Porn mm-hmm. was on so the internet at that point, but I like, I wasn't getting on it to like figure that stuff out, you know?
So what you're telling me is that you didn't have a friend who had in her basement a fucking like case, like a whole credenza full of porn that her dad had the 70s.
You know, whenever I was, I think we talked about this, but like my equivalent of that was that I had one friend whose parents had Showtime, or like not Showtime, whatever that was, Cinemax. Whatever that was.
Yeah, Skinemax.
Yeah, that like late at night played porn, like yes. straight porn movies. Mm-hmm. And like we would creep out into the living room like late at night. And yeah. watch like the most weird, bizarre, softcore porn. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, like that's the most I got.
My parents had the Joy of Sex under their bed. They also had a very interesting contraption. I won't call them out here, but it took me a long time to actually have that memory and realize, oh, hey, that's what that was. Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for porn. I would look up stuff in the library and then like romance novels, that sort of thing.
I did find my parents' copy of the Kama Sutra that was illustrated at some point. And it was illustrated in a way that I feel like might be culturally offensive, to be honest.
Oh my god. Amazing. My god.
Oh god. Okay. So I got my story from Reddit. And I'm not going to give you a title. Okay. I'm just going to get right into it. I'm lactose intolerant and I have been for probably like 8 years. And I didn't know because I never went to a doctor about my issues.
Already.
I mean, how are you supposed to know if you, when you eat a wheel of brie and shit and vomit your entire intestines out, that you're lactose intolerant and not just, you know, have a problem? But whatever. It doesn't matter because I'm basically a doctor and I used alternative medicine to diagnose myself. I use a method called mortal embarrassment and it requires a sexual encounter.
So. No.
So I was living in Dallas for a few years and was part of a major part of the Jewish community. Anyways, I was starting to date my kind. It's hilarious. I'd met this guy, Jonas. We had been going on dates for a couple weeks and I really liked him. So I had been purchasing new expensive outfits for every date. These Saks Fifth Avenue purchases came out of my food budget, which I figured would be a double win. So I tied myself over.
You guys, I found out the other day that before our first date, Eric had bought a whole new outfit.
Oh, that's not the cutest. That's awesome, actually.
I think that's...
Because he was like, I'm coming prepared.
So cute. He bought like new pants, new shirt, new shoes. Like, he was...
That's awesome. That's so cute. That's but you guys have been talking for a long time, too. Yeah. So he was like, I'm going to come correct.
Yeah.
I mean, and there is something that just makes you feel more confident when you're in new clothes, like mm-hmm. brand new clothes. You just feel more confident, more yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I can't wait. I haven't bought clothes in the fucking longest time because I'm like, who the fuck's going to see them? Who cares?
I mean, sweatpants. That's my bought some sweatpants.
Showing off for the cashier at Whole Foods? Like, no.
So to tide myself over, I would go to Walmart and buy a box of clearance granola protein bars and eat them for every meal until the box was out, and then I'd buy another one. Jonas was supposed to take me out to dinner on Thursday, so I bought an outfit and that morning I purchased a box of Fiber One protein bars and had eaten 2 to 3. I wasn't feeling very good. I don't think that's what you're supposed to have.
You are not, like, disclaimer for people. Okay, listen. You cannot do this to yourself. If it comes down between a cute outfit and food, please pick food.
Mm-hmm. Or just, like, you know what I mean? Like, vary it up. You can't live for like days and days on end on fucking granola bars.
Like, a lean cuisine is like $2.50. Okay, like go get yourself like a chicken parmesan lean cuisine,
or like
for $2.50,
an apple or something,
something else.
He took me to get pizza. We had a burrata pizza, red wine, minimal conversation. It was fucking delicious. After dinner, I was nervous and excited to go back to his place to fool around, so I ignored the grumbling, bloated feeling I had. We walked into his apartment, went inside, and were greeted by Smoke, Jonas's husky. Smoke was sweet, and I wanted to get brownie points with Jonas, so I bent down to pet him and say hi.
No.
As I was about to get up to engage with Jonas, I met eyes with him. Oh my God. His eyes said everything.
No.
They said, "I'm gonna fuck you." Yes. What I didn't know was that his eyes also said, "I'm gonna throw you over my shoulder and bring you into my room." I think this is where the nonverbal cues break down. Jonas walked over to me, maintaining eye contact. He picked me up by my hips. I was full of air, so maybe that helped. And then he threw me over.
No.
As soon as my hips and lower stomach hit his shoulder, a cartoonishly loud fart released from my body. Right next to his face. Please keep in mind that this all happened in less than 2 seconds.
Please tell me he laughed about it. It's got to be hysterical.
Upon realizing that this unfeminine, mood-ruining, mortifying thing happened, every single fiber of my body clenched up, and I went into an embarrassment-induced rigor mortis. Simultaneously threw my body away from him as hard as I could and hit my head on the wall nearest
oh,
us.
Oh no, honey.
Jonas freaked out and let go of me. I slide to the ground into a pile, hair in my face. I look up and see Jonas and his dog cocking their head at me in confusion. Is it possible that they hadn't heard it? He asked me if I was okay, and I said, "Don't look at me." Don't look at me. I was still hoping he hadn't heard it. He said, "It's okay." Anyways, we proceeded to have sex in his bedroom, and I totally farted like twice during a Cosmo magazine no-no.
Cosmo magazine.
You know what? That is one thing that I feel like I can safely say as a almost 31-year-old woman. I have never farted during sex.
I have.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure I have. Yeah. I mean, nothing I can recall, but I'm sure my brain has probably blocked it. He broke up with me a week later, and I'm pretty sure this is why.
Oh, no, honey.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Everybody
so funny.
Farts. Happen. You are a human being. The best thing that you can do about anything embarrassing I've learned is just be all shoulders and laugh it off. Because, yeah.
Right. Well, I think that's something too that, like, as you get a little bit older, you come to realize. But I'm imagining this date is like, I'm going to guess they're probably in their 20s easily.
Look, yeah. Yes. I think you have to be in your 20s if you are sacrificing food for Saks Fifth Avenue clothing. Yes. I think the older
and
you get,
and also being
more
picked up
like,
over somebody's shoulder.
Yeah. Yes. And I look, if a 45-year-old man tries to pick you up and put him over his shoulder,
he's throwing his back out, number one.
Amen. Both fall. That's the truth.
And we're both taking like something and going to sleep. Oh. Yeah. So
getting an icy hot patch out for that shit.
Oh no. Like what an exciting evening.
Oh, geez. Shit. Oh.
Okay. So
I'm ready.
As we mentioned to the listeners, we are recording ahead. So that means that I had to come up with two tainted love stories kind of close in succession,
mm-hmm.
which was a big ask for me. Yeah. It took me a while to come up with this second one. So I had first seen something about this on the Southern Spirits podcast Instagram
nice.
Page. So I was like, that looks bananas. So I'm like, I want to look into that a little bit more and see what that's about. And the more I read into it, the more I was like, why isn't this one of those true crime stories that all of us know? Because it Ooh. Seems so out of left field. And so I got a lot of this information from Murderpedia, Wikipedia, and then Snapped season 27, episode 12, which came out last year.
I love a good Snapped.
Yes. I mean, and also like this story happened in the 80s, like the 70s and 80s. And so why she is just now getting a Snapped episode, I don't know, because her Snapped episode was 2020, so who knows. But I am going to be talking today about Audrey Marie Hilly.
Okay.
Okay. So she was born Audrey Marie Frazier on June 4th, 1933 in the Blue Mountain area of Anniston, Alabama. So quick fun fact, Nanny Doss, who I also covered, the giggling granny, was also born in the Blue Mountain area of Anniston, Alabama. Hmm. So
great.
Just something to point out. Maybe. Okay. Anyway, no, never mind. So Audrey went by Marie, her middle name, Audrey Marie. She went by Marie. And so that's how I'll refer to her throughout the rest of this. And she was described as popular and charming, and she was the perfect Southern belle. If anyone had anything negative to say about her, it was that she was somewhat spoiled by her parents. Like, her parents were not really well off, but they always gave her whatever she wanted. So she was kind of spoiled in that way, and she always wanted to present perfectly. Like, we all know that person who really wants to present as though everything is like great all the time. And so she had perfect hair, perfect clothes all the time. So she met her husband, Frank Hilly, in high school, and the two were good looking and popular, and they got married in 1951, and they seemed to have this very idyllic 1950s life. She was a happy homemaker, and they welcomed their first child, Michael, the following year in 1952, and then their daughter, Carol, came 8 years later in 1960. So Carol and Marie did not really get along. Carol was more of a tomboy, and Marie did not think that it was appropriate for a proper Southern young lady to be kind of like rough and tumble and not care about appearances the way that Marie cared about appearances. Mm. So she wanted her daughter to like look and act a certain way. So Carol was very much a daddy's girl. Now, they appeared to have this, again, like this really perfect life. They had this big, nice house in the suburbs. They had one boy, one girl, and they were very well-liked and respected in the community. However, they were experiencing money problems. Despite the fact that Frank had a well-paying job, Marie was prone to very extravagant spending, and it left them with very little savings and caused some friction within the marriage. So at one point, Marie took a job as a secretary, but ended up leaving that job when Frank found out that she had been sleeping with one of her bosses for extra money.
Ooh.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Well,
it's pretty intense.
Bringing home the bacon.
Mm. Yeah. One thing I read said that he had actually walked in on them one time.
Ooh.
And that's when he was like, all right, I'm going to stand by you as my wife, but this got stopped. So she stopped working as a secretary. Around 1975, Frank started to feel ill, and so he started to complain to his friends and family that he was having stomach pain. He visited his doctor complaining of nausea and tenderness in his abdomen and was diagnosed with a viral stomach ache. When the condition persisted, he was admitted to the hospital, where tests indicated a malfunction of the liver and doctors diagnosed him with infectious hepatitis. He died early the next morning on May 25th after he was admitted into the hospital.
This sounds like poison.
Sounds like Nanny Doss, don't it? Mm-hmm. It doesn't it make you feel like she was like, this is another local lady. Maybe I'll just
reincarnate myself in this. Mm-hmm.
An autopsy performed with Marie's permission, so she gave them permission, revealed swelling in the kidneys and lungs, bilateral pneumonia, and inflammation in the stomach. So because all of these symptoms resembled hepatitis, they went ahead and put that down as Frank's cause of death. And there were no other tests that were conducted at that point. Frank had a life insurance policy on him taken out by Marie. Of course.
That's lucky.
And it was for the amount of $31,140. Now, $31,000, according to the Snapped episode, was quite a lot of money in that time. In that area of Alabama, you could buy a house. Like, you could buy, like, a decent-sized house for $31,000 at that time in that area. Marie ran through the money pretty quickly, and 3 years on, it was gone. So, on the night of Carol's prom, so Carol and her mom, Marie, they didn't get along very well, but on the night of her prom, she's like, this is the one night, like, let's get gussied up and go out. So she's getting ready with her mom. Her mom is, like, doing her hair and makeup to go out, but she ends up becoming violently ill, and she's like, I can't go out. So she ends up losing feeling in her extremities, and she's unable to walk. So she's rushed to the hospital, and the doctors claim that they can't find anything wrong with her. They ended up telling her that her symptoms were psychosomatic and that she had to undergo psychiatric testing at Birmingham's Caraway Methodist Hospital. So they were like, we don't see anything physically wrong with you. It's all in your head. You need
You're
to go
a
to this.
Woman. You're being right. hysterical.
Yeah. You're being yeah. hysterical. Exactly. Frank's sister, however, who was Carol's aunt, Aunt Frida, she felt like something was fishy. And so she noted that a lot of the symptoms that Carol was experiencing, the stomach pain, the nausea, et cetera, were similar to what Frank was experiencing before he passed. And she recalled that Marie had been giving Frank injections before he died. And so she asks Marie's son, Mike, who had gone away to seminary at that point, she asked, but had come back when Carol got sick. She asked him, hey, can you call your sister and ask her if she's getting any injections? So
also, he calls, how do you just like, you're like, honey, I need to inject you with something. How do you bring mm-hmm. that up?
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, right. I feel the same, but so, okay. So Mike calls Carol while she's in the hospital. And he asks her, he's like, hey, has mom been giving you any injections? And Carol, who's on this Snapped episode, she's like, my mom was in the room with me. So I told him no. But then he asked me, are you sure? And I said, no. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you know, they were like, okay, something's really wrong. And Carol said that Marie had been giving her injections both at home and while she was in the hospital several times and had told her daughter that the injections would help her to walk again.
No.
So, right, that's not how that works. So Mike informed authorities, and to his surprise, they tell him that they've actually been monitoring Marie for some time because she had been writing bad checks all over town because she'd burned through all that money from the life insurance policy and was still trying to maintain this super lavish lifestyle. So she's been writing bad checks, and it's to the point now where it's so bad that they have authorities actually like monitoring her activity. So they arrest her at that point and hold her on the bad check charge. So Carol is then transferred to the University of Alabama Hospital, where the doctor who is called in to examine her notices that she has strange line markings on her nails and immediately mm-hmm. recognizes it as a sign of arsenic poisoning. So sure enough, they test her hair and then they do blood work, and it confirms that she has arsenic levels ranging from over 100 times the normal level close to her scalp when they look at her hair to the normal level reaching the end of her hair shaft, which indicated that Carol had been given increasingly larger doses of arsenic over a period of 4 to 8 months.
Oh,
wow.
Right. So yeah. Mike then asks police to dig up his dad's body. And when they do, they find equally high amounts of arsenic in his system as well. So Marie, during this whole time, is maintaining her innocence. She's saying that the injections were a nausea medication for Carol because Carol was feeling so nauseous that she was giving her...
I thought it was so she could walk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know what? If she's in the hospital, you kind of let the doctors handle all that shit.
Could you ask them to give her some nausea medication?
Yeah.
So, of course, this is bullshit. So police aren't buying this, and they find that Marie has taken out a $25,000 life insurance policy on her teenage daughter, which they're like, that's weird. That you don't take out, you know, but this is, it really is like so similar to what Nanny Doss did. Cause remember, she was taking out life insurance policies on like her grandkids and shit. Like it's so similar that I do wonder if she was somewhat inspired by that. It's a woman from the same area who was doing essentially kind of the same thing. So Auntie Frida, she is determined to nail Marie for the murder of her brother. And so she goes to Marie's house, where she finds a pill bottle in the basement containing arsenic. And then they also test a vial in Marie's purse, which also contained the poison. So they speculate that she has been dosing her husband and daughter with injections through food. But that's not all. Before Mike went away to seminary, he had also been experiencing stomach flu-like symptoms that had mysteriously vanished when he left home.
Yeah.
And
run, Mike, run.
Run. And then others had also started to wonder if they had been poisoned by Marie. So after her husband died, Marie had called the police several times and made reports that somebody was harassing and stalking her. And the police didn't find these claims to be credible. Like, they would come over, she'd be like, somebody's been harassing me, stalking me, whatever. But her story would never add up. Like, they would never be able to actually, like, link anything up. But every time that they would come over, she would do that classic Southern hospitality thing where she's like, here's some treats and some lemonade and some sweet tea for you all.
No.
And they started to note that every time they left her, they would not be feeling well. And then neighbors, business associates, and relatives also claimed that they'd been feeling sick after spending time at Marie's house. So later on, they actually ended up digging up the body of like an 11-year-old boy who had died, who was a neighbor of Marie's, who had died kind of under mysterious circumstances. And they weren't able to definitively link anything back to her. But they did find later on that, like, when her mother and her sister were tested, there were high levels of arsenic in their systems as well, though not lethal levels. But it's pretty clear that she's been poisoning people all over town for no real reason either, you know.
Like, right?
No, that's just the love of the game at that point.
Love of the game, yeah. On November 9th, after spending a little over a month in jail, Marie's lawyer manages to get her out on bail and puts her up in a local hotel. She disappears sometime between the 9th and the 18th, which I'm like, why was no one checking on her?
Nobody's like, knock, knock, hey, you still here? Or?
Yeah, for like 9 days, they were like, I'm sure she'll turn back up, you know, like... So she disappears sometime within that 9-day period. And when the lawyer goes to retrieve her, I'm assuming for court or whatever, to prepare her for court, he finds a note indicating that she might have been kidnapped and a missing persons, right? Like, it, because it was very vague. It was like, okay. Maybe, this is something that happened, right? And a missing persons report was filed, and Audrey was listed as a fugitive. On November 19th, a burglary occurred at the home of Marie's aunt, and her aunt's car had been stolen, as well as some women's clothes and an overnight bag. And investigators found a note there that read, "Do not call the police. We will burn you out if you do. We found what we wanted and we will not bother you again." Oh. And both of these notes, both the one in the hotel and the one at the aunt's house, match Marie's handwriting.
So, oh. Wow. Bitch, you ain't even trying.
She wasn't even trying, and yet they were not able to find Marie.
Oh, God.
So about 2 months later, on January 11th, 1980, she's indicted in absentia for her husband's murder. The police contacted the FBI, who launched a massive manhunt. Okay. Let's fast forward. Trace years.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
3 years later. In January of 1983, there's a man in Vermont who goes to the police with an odd story. He says that there is something strange going on with one of his employees. He had employed a woman named Robbie Hammond. She was a sweet, talkative lady who everybody liked. She was married to a local man named John Hammond. And she, you know, would be at work, getting along with everyone. And she spoke often about the twin sister, the identical twin sister she had in Texas. So she started telling her coworkers that she had this rare blood disease and that she needed to be treated or else it was very possible that she would die. So the only specialist in the country that she could see was in Dallas. So she was going to go there and stay with her sister while she got treatment. So she left her husband, John, and she sets off for Dallas. And a few months later, John receives a call from his wife's twin sister, Terry. And she tells John that sadly, Robbie has died from her blood disease. And they've donated the body to science. And it was Robbie's last wish that Terry go and visit John and see the life that she had created for herself in Vermont. So John,
what?
Girl, so
this
John,
is somebody what? That watched way too many soaps in the 60s and 70s. And yes. It's just like, I'm going to, as the world turns, this motherfucker.
So John is heartbroken over the death of his wife, but he agrees to let Terry come and visit. And when Terry arrives, he notices that she looks exactly like Robbie, except that she has blonde hair, she has a different style of dress, and she's wearing different makeup. Still,
they're identical twins.
They're twins.
That's what happens.
They're identical twins. So, you know, whatever. So Terry stays for a couple weeks, and eventually John, you know, he takes solace in Terry's company and she moves in. So Terry goes to Robbie's workplace and meets Robbie's coworkers, and they meet, the coworkers are like, I like that the this coworkers story. Are like, I don't fucking think so.
Everything.
Oh my God. Long They're lost. Like, twin sister, rare blood diseases, everything.
They're like, something is very, very off. So Terry puts an obituary for Robbie in the paper, and some of the details just don't sit right with the coworkers. So they contact authorities. So the boss is the one who goes. When the authorities examined the obituary, they noticed that it just did not add up. The hospital where Robbie's body was supposedly donated didn't exist, and neither did the church that eulogized her death. So the FBI is contacted, and when they approach Terry and tell her, they're like, look, bitch, we don't think you're who you say you are. And she folds immediately. She admits that she is not Terry or Robbie. She is Audrey Marie Hilly, and says that she had changed her identity because she was wanted in Alabama for, quote, writing bad checks.
Whoa. Okay.
Wow. Just that. Mm-hmm. Cool, 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 cool.
So they take her in and they pull her records and they see that she is on the run for murder, though she refuses to admit to the poisoning of her daughter or her husband. So she's extradited back to Alabama. John Homan says that he didn't know anything, and the police in the snap, and seriously, let me tell you, the police in the Snapped episode really seem to believe him. Like, they really seem to feel really bad for John. They're like, John was heartbroken. John was
baby angel
thrown for a loop. He had met Robbie as Robbie Hannon in Florida, and not, which also strikes me as like he introduced himself and he was like, "Hi, I'm John Homan," and she was like, "Robbie
Hammond."
Right? Like, she's yeah. like, she came up with a last name that was like kind of close, but not the same. So he meets her as Robbie Hannon in Florida. So it seems like she left Alabama, she went to Florida, she met John, and they fell in love quite quickly. And then she tells him, like, "I've always wanted to live in New Hampshire." So this woman must be the most charming woman in the world, because he was like, "Let's move to New Hampshire." So the two of them moved to New Hampshire.
Jesus.
And then they get married in 1981. And it's that next year in 1982 when Robbie is like, "I have a rare blood disease and I need to go to Texas." And then comes back as Terry with blonde hair.
Wait, where's Vermont come into this?
I mean, they must have moved to Vermont after New Hampshire, I'm guessing. How okay. close are those okay. together? I have no idea.
They're literally neighbors, yeah. but I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, that must be what happened, because she worked in Vermont at least, so I don't know.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's real close. I mean, when I went to Vermont, I flew into New Hampshire and drove in.
Yeah, so maybe they lived in New Hampshire and she drove across to work in Vermont. I'm not sure. Or they sure. moved to Vermont, but something like that.
Okay.
But John denies knowing that Robbie and Terry were the same person, and the investigators seem to think that he's telling the truth. Still, he stands by his woman and moves from New Hampshire or Vermont, wherever he's living, to Alabama to be near her.
Oh, poor
man. John. So the trial begins on May 30th, 1983. On June 7th, she is found guilty of the murder of Frank, for which she receives a life sentence. She's also found guilty of poisoning her daughter, Carol, for which she receives 20 years. Now, that's not the end of this story.
No, come on.
This woman must have been charming as fuck, because she gets in good with the assistant warden at the prison that she goes to. And pretty much right away, you know, they develop a relationship, like a friendship, not a relationship, but like a, you know, he starts feeling really sympathetic for her. And she manages to convince him that she'd been framed and was really innocent. And so she's behind bars for about 3 years when the assistant warden manages to convince the warden that Marie is a good candidate for a 3-day pass to see her husband.
Oh, she's not.
This woman has run from authorities already. Like, why would she be a good candidate? She was a fugitive for 3 years, but okay. Now,
also, why is that even a thing for people that have a life sentence? I'm sorry. Like, no, a 3-day pass for murder?
Yeah. Well, yeah. this situation did make the state of Alabama reevaluate its furlough rules. So yeah. there's that. So on February 19th, 1987, John picks Marie up from prison and they go to a boarding house. At the end of the 3 days, Marie tells John that she wants to visit her mother's grave before returning to prison. So she asks him to wait at the Waffle House while she goes across the street to the cemetery. She's like, "You go ahead and get some potatoes.
Have some hash browns smothered and covered, sweetie. I'll be right back."
Wow.
So she says she'll meet him back at the Waffle House as soon as she's done. And so John waits, but Marie never shows back up. So he
what? It wasn't
this
her
poor
her
dumb
triplet.
Idiot.
She's like, "My name's Carrie. I'm the evil triplet.
Robbie, Carrie, oh, Terry." No. So he goes back to the boarding house where he finds a note saying that she's sorry, but she's not going back to prison. And so at that point, John calls the police and a massive manhunt begins. During this time in Alabama, the weather is terrible. Temperatures have dropped below freezing and it's raining. So it's like sleeting there. Marie is found 3 days later crawling onto the back porch of a local Anniston woman who, ironically, had known her from elementary school.
Oh.
But having seen her out of her back window, like, she's like, I don't recognize that lady. And so she thought it was a transient woman who needed medical care because she looked like she was in really bad shape. So she calls 911 and the police and paramedics show up shortly thereafter. They get Marie into an ambulance and she's experiencing severe hypothermia. She has a heart attack and dies on the way to the hospital.
Wow.
What?
And that is the story.
Hey, some people live life and other people's live moss, you know? It's like yes. She is...
Live Moss, hashtag yeah. Live Moss. She, I mean, wow. I was like, how do we not know this? Like, she murdered her husband, tried to murder her daughter, escapes prison, takes up a new identity, kills herself off, comes back as her own twin sister, gets arrested, and then escapes prison again. Like,
oh my God, honestly. What in the fuck?
I love that the coworkers are like,
No. Because you know that it would be the coworkers who would be like that. Like, you know, your coworkers are like, no.
Dude, how would you love to work somewhere where that kind of drama was happening, though?
Oh my God. Like, honestly?
Okay, listen. I'm just working with this fucking bitch who is coming in saying, oh, dude, that
break
is
room
drama.
Was fire. That
I just
room...
turned into the janitor because I am vacuuming.
I can't even imagine. Like, I want to be, here's what I want in this situation. I want to be the coworker who was like gone on vacation for 2 days and then you get back and then everybody's like, girl, did you hear about Robbie? And then you're like, what? Tell me everything. And they're like, did you see that blonde bitch in the hall? That is Robbie pretending to be somebody named Terry. We've already contacted the FBI. I'd be like, oh my God.
And you'd be like, ah! Oh my God. Oh my God. Also, don't drink the coffee. She made it because you'll get a stomach ache. Right. Oh my gosh.
Lord almighty.
Wow. Wowie, wow, wow. That was fantastic. Well, what are you guys watching this week?
I'm not watching anything new. I have nothing to contribute. I really haven't watched anything new. I've been watching Last Tango in Halifax and Real Housewives, and that's it. Really.
I'm still on that Blacklist train. I got really into it. Dude, James Spader is a delight.
He is.
He really is. So
Chris is on the deep track of that show, Blacklist, as well. I am still on the when I have time to watch TV at this point. It's all ER all the time. Still, there's a lot of seasons.
Well, I was gonna
this
say,
might be a boring up segment for Noah.
Yeah, ER has been on for like a million years. So
yeah, it was like 15 seasons or some nonsense.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but it's so fucking good. I recommend.
That's kind of what I'm looking for these days, though. Is like when you're trapped inside, yeah. I'm like, ooh. 8 seasons. Yes, please.
Yes. Yes, exactly. The funny thing is that, like, okay, because I've shared this with you before, but I think the thing that I'm really appreciated in on this watch, because I'm an adult now, is how well it's fucking filmed. Like, it's just so in your face. It's just super good.
Nice.
But here we are.
You know what? I guess I'll share since, you know, we have been pre-recording so much and so there hasn't been a lot of time to watch new things. I will share what I want to watch and I really want to watch that Lupin show. Have you guys seen the ads for that?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I want to see that really bad, but it's in French and you know I love a subtitle. You know I do, but I have to have I have to be able to like actually watch it. Like I can't be like doing other things because you're reading yeah. subtitles. So I haven't been in a position to like sit down and really watch something and read the subtitles, but that looks great. And I really do want to watch that.
So Chris and I watched the first episode.
Did you like?
We started it and dubbed.
Okay.
Like it's a dub over. And I was like, I can't do dubs.
Yeah. I don't like that.
I can't
do
the
either.
Dubs. Yeah. It was terrible. I was like, let me just listen to it in French and read it if I need to. You know, like it just was such a, but it's good. The first episode was really good. And I don't know why we didn't continue. I think it's just because one of those, it's not bingeable, right? So it's not like.
It's not.
Yeah. I think it was like okay. a release. I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's interesting. That might have helped me actually with Peaky Blinders because I ended up binging that and I got through three seasons of it. And I think they're on the fifth season. And I just was like, I just can't.
I did the
watch
same thing
anymore.
I watched the first three and then I fell off. And it's not like it's not good. It's just there is, I think, a formula to a quote bingeable show, right? Like there is like I think that there is a certain thing that goes into that, and some shows have that bingeability and some shows don't, and it doesn't mean they're not good shows. It's just like
that's right,
they're not formulated for you to be like
watch
in one session, you know?
Correct. Yeah, I was just like what, they're gonna get into wacky hijinks, they're gonna get out of them, okay, like
somebody inconsequential might die.
Yeah, so yeah, I was just like, meh, I'm done with this for a while. Maybe I'll pick it back up when I'm in the mood for it again. Because I really enjoyed it. It was three seasons of it.
Cillian Murphy's hotness can only take you so far, you know?
Right. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you guys have shows that we should watch, if you want to reach out and say hi, if you got stories, go to our one-stop shop of website. It's myworstatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.